Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, and it's always a pleasure to be here with you at Fort George Baptist Church. I want to say just a big, giant thank you for your support and your prayer for Youth for Christ. You are a big part of what we are able to do. At Youth for Christ, we reach 500-600 young people a week with our programs. And all of our programs are designed to communicate to the young people in this city that they are valuable, that they are loved. And you are a big part of that. About April last year, one of my staff people let me know that he was leaving Youth for Christ. He'd been hired as the youth pastor at First Baptist Church, and the vision for Youth for Christ, our strategy for reaching young people with the hope of Jesus Christ, has been to develop a team of qualified, passionate people to reach young people with the hope of Jesus. And it felt like the team was dwindling. It felt like we weren't accomplishing what we wanted to accomplish. I was pretty bummed about it. And so there's a group of other executive directors in Prince George that I meet with. And our organization is the only Christian organization represented in this group of other executive directors that I meet with on a monthly basis. And the way the group works is, you know, we bring our issues and we talk about them and get advice from other people, fresh eyes on the problems that we have. And I came to be my turn and I said, you know what, well, this is the issue that we're dealing with right now. I need people. I want to build this team of youth workers to reach young people in Prince George. I'm not sure where they're going to come from. And I'll never forget this because we're the only Christian organization representing social services organizations, so arts and culture organizations primarily that we're meeting with. And this other executive director, she just looks at me and she says, Steve, I can't help you with your problems. You guys are missionaries. I don't really understand you. But I think you just need to pray. Whew. I knew that wasn't really her talking, but that was the voice of God speaking through her, and so I did. I prayed, and I am so thrilled that this summer we've had four people join our staff in either permanent or temporary roles, and it's And Nikita doesn't know I'm going to talk about her this morning because I didn't do this last night, but. I'm especially thrilled to have Nikita join our team, at least initially on a temporary basis. Nikita is someone I've known for a little while, and the thing that always struck me about Nikita when she was a participant in our programs was that she was the kind of person who, when other students had issues, when other students were going through things, they went to Nikita. So, yeah, I'm thrilled that it was clear to me, even as a teenager, what her heart was. And so I'm thrilled that she is going to be working with us this year. And I would encourage you to support her, both financially and in prayer, as she's going to be working with our hardest kids. I've put her to work with Josiah, who works with tough, tough kids. Because I think that's her heart, and so if you can, please do support her financially, but also in prayer, because she's going to need it. It's not always easy work that we do when we work with at-risk, tough kids, and so. But I'm so that's you know, as we open the Word of God together this morning, I have a question for you. Have you ever asked the question, why do I come to church? Anyone ever asked that question? Is it just me? Tell me it's not just me. Why do we come to church? Why are we here this morning? Is it to listen to some teaching, sing a few songs, shake a few hands, have a cup of coffee, and then go home? And if that's it, is that it? Is that all that church is about? Is that all that it's meant to be? You know, I've heard that people used to come to church because there was a social cost to not going to church. If you didn't go to church, you might miss out on a business connection. Or maybe you just wanted to be seen as moral, upright, part of the community, and church was a place to be seen. And the thinking goes that as the church's influence on our culture has waned, those people are no longer here on a Sunday morning. There might be some truth to that. You know, maybe some people woke up on a Sunday morning and thought, what am I getting out of this? And discovered that the answer to that question wasn't worth their time on a Sunday morning. But let me ask you, why are you here? Why are you here at this place, at this time? Why do you come to church? It is an interesting question to me because I think a lot of the reasons that you might have come to church in the past maybe aren't as applicable as they once were. You think about it, and it used to be that if you wanted to hear good teaching about the Bible, that you had to come to church on Sunday morning. But I have to tell you, though, I think Dan is a fantastic preacher. In fact, I remember when I was a youth pastor in Heartland, and we did a Good Friday service all together, and I think Dan had just been hired. One of the older ladies in my church, she came up to me after the Good Friday service. She's like, that man is the next Billy Graham. You know, I got a lot more reactions this morning than I did last night when I told that story because some of them don't even know who Billy Graham is, but Dan's fantastic, don't get me wrong. I do my best up here. Spencer's great. But you can now hear the most gifted preachers, the most gifted Bible teachers on demand. Don't get me wrong, I think that's a great thing. My life is richer because I can listen to Tim Keller's sermons on my podcast app. You can find teaching of people more knowledgeable, more eloquent than me easily, and you should. These are great resources. We're lucky to have them. But it does mean that you no longer need to go to church to get great teaching. Well, maybe you come for the music. One of the things that I really appreciate about my church, because I lead worship at my church. One of the things I really appreciate about my church is that it seems to be okay with people messing up as they lead, right? But I love that because it meant that when I was a youth pastor, I could bring a kid who maybe was just learning how to play guitar, or learning how to play bass, and give them a venue and work with them and watch them. Watch them flourish. But here's the thing. It used to be that you had to go somewhere to hear great music. It used to be that you had to go somewhere. But here's the thing. I have a subscription on my phone to Google Play Music. You might have Spotify. You might have Apple Music. You might listen to music on YouTube. But you have access to better musicians. You can listen to the best church music played by the most skilled people. And you no longer have to go to church to do that. So let me ask you again, church? Is church outdated? Why are you here? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians this morning and see if we can't find an answer together. If you've got a Bible, would you turn with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? We're going to start in verse 12 this morning. Corinthians 12, verse 12. For just as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so too is Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not a single member, but many. Well, there's one thing here that I can't find in a podcast, that I can't find listening to music at home. There's one thing I can't find, and that's you. When I read this passage, I see this truth. You cannot live in unity with Jesus and live in disunity with other believers. Let me say that again. You can't claim to follow Jesus Christ and think, you know what, I don't need other people. You can't swear off other Christians. You can't say, you know what, I'm an introvert. I don't need other people. Because we have here this truth, this beautiful illustration that Paul gives us. Are united by the Holy Spirit, baptized by Him, whether we like it or not. Not only do you need others, I need you. You have something to offer. If you're here this morning and you claim Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, then this passage is talking about you. You are part of the body. I want you to think about the context that Paul was writing this passage in. And think about the radical kind of nature of what Paul's saying here. Paul is writing in a time when Greek Christians and Jewish Christians were wrestling with the implications of the gospel and how it would transform this Jewish religious practice. And what does he write? He writes, whether Jews and Greeks, we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. I mean, can you imagine what it would have been like to have been a slave or a slave owner in the early church and go there, gather with other believers, and hear this teaching that says, it doesn't matter that we're all one. And I look at a passage like this, and I get kind of frustrated. I get frustrated with the things that sometimes divide us as Christians. Tom Rainer used to be president of Lifeway, and he asked on Twitter for stories about things that had divided churches, and he put the 25 best in a blog post. And I hope you like puns this morning, because I got a bunch. But here they are. There's one church that fought over whether or not to build a children's playground or to use their land for a cemetery. I'm dying to know what the resolution of that one was. There was a church argument, and they even took it to a vote to decide if a clock in the sanctuary should be removed. And, you know, I gotta say that one's definitely a timely argument. There was a big church argument over the discovery that the church budget was off 10 cents. Someone finally gave a dime to settle the issue. And you know, that sounds silly, but I got to admit, it's 10 times more important than the church arguing over a penny. also a church argument over whether or not to have gluten-free communion bread or not. And here, I thought gluten was a sin. Yeah, these are kind of funny, right? But they're also kind of sad, right? But the things that we let divide us as Christians, you know, I think we all have our pet theological issues, the things that we want church to do and to be. But we let all kinds of things divide us, and usually it's not nearly something as consequential as what Paul was writing about here. Which Paul was writing about the radical transformation of how one's faith should be practiced. He was writing about the complete redefinition of personal relationships. If we're honest, the things that usually divide us aren't nearly so important. I think some of this comes from the way our culture talks and thinks about faith. Especially in the evangelical culture, I've heard this. Have you guys ever heard the language that Jesus Christ is our mercy savior? I don't know if you can hear the difference in these two sentences, but I want you to listen and see. Jesus Christ is a personal Savior. Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. Do you hear the difference? Jesus is absolutely a personal Savior. He cares very much about us as individuals. And our faith, our individual faith is important. But he didn't come just to save me for my benefit. So what happens when we talk like this, when we use this language, is that we can make the mistake of making the pinnacle of the Christian experience the most important part, the conversion experience. And then everything else is kind of gravy. But I would challenge you to find the part of the Bible that says that. Find the part of the Bible that says that how we live in Christ isn't important, isn't significant, where how we live is part of the church, where how we live together isn't of vital importance. And whether this morning you find this fantastic or frightening, when we follow Jesus, we become part of something much larger than just ourselves. Cannot live in unity with Jesus Christ and disunity with other believers. And look, I get it. It's easier for me to say up here than it is to do. Because any place where you have people, you have politics, you have personalities, you have pride. Pride, I think, is specifically addressed in the next part of our passage this morning. Let's go on from verse 15. If the foot says, since I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it does not lose its membership in the body because of that. And if the ear says, since I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it does not lose its membership in the body because of that. If the whole body were an eye, what part would do the hearing? If the whole were an ear, what part would exercise the sense of smell? But as a matter of fact, God has placed each of the members in the body just as he decided. If they were all the same member, where would the body be? So now there are many members but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. Nor in turn can the head say to the foot, I do not need you. On the contrary, those members that seem to be weaker are essential. And those members we consider less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our unpresentable members are clothed with dignity. But our presentable members do not need this. You know, I get the sense in the Corinthian church that there was disagreement over over who had what gift, who had the spectacular, who had the mundane. And you think most in the Corinthian church wanted to feel like they had the gift of the spectacular. They wanted to be the presentable part, to use this language. The gift that's out in front for everyone to see. But that's not how we as a church are designed to function. You know, when I was thinking about the kind of people that I wanted for the Youth of Christ board, I kept this in mind. Because when I was thinking about how to build a leadership team for the organization, I wanted someone with the gift of evangelism. Someone who would keep us on mission. But I also wanted someone with a more pastoral heart. Someone who would see and care for our staff and our kids. Someone who would think about those things. I wanted someone with a prophetic voice. Someone to keep us as an organization listening to the voice of God in every decision. And I wanted someone with the gift of administration so that something would actually get done. But can you imagine a leadership team with too many pastoral voices? Everyone would be well cared for, but nothing would get done. Too many administrators and things get done, but that might not be the right thing. People might not feel very good about it. You get the picture. God has put all of us together, and it's on purpose, and it's also frustrating. But we're not always alike. This is one of the reasons why I think we can't opt out of the body of Christ. Your gifts are needed. The way that God has uniquely made you is needed. The way that this plays out is often messy. But here's what we can't say. We can't say I'm not a part. We can't say, I don't love you. Because if I do, then I'm clearly not demonstrating the heart of God. And we can't be united with Jesus Christ if we're not united with each other. So what are some practical ways that we can demonstrate unity? I got a few ideas for you this morning. The first is to go be the church. Now hear what I'm saying here. Because I didn't say go to church. I said go be the church. Be the gospel-bearing, people-loving community that God has called us to be in the world out there. Let's focus on the mission of God and seize opportunities to serve and to love the people that God loves. I think when we lose our focus on where the feet are meant to take us, on who the hands are meant to serve, we can fall apart. What do you call a body that isn't moving? Right. Dead. A body that isn't moving is dead. Are we moving? Church, are we moving in the direction that God is leading us? You know, most of my life, I never worked out. Never once. But this last year, I started to work out, like, regularly. And, something happened to me, because I used to love just sitting and watching TV. Awesome. Sit, watch TV, not do anything. I can't do that anymore, not for the same length of time, because I start to feel not very good, because my body's used to motion, my body's used to moving. Honestly, I don't know if my life's better than it was. Our bodies need movement. They need exercise. If we spend too much time sitting in the pews and not moving in the world that God has given us to minister to, in a world that God loved so much that He gave His Son Jesus to bring eternal life to, at best, we're unhealthy. At worst, we're dying. I also think that we as a church need to recognize and appreciate all the unique gifts that God has given each of us. Because it can happen. It happens in this church. It happens in all churches. There are some gifts that get more attention. There are some people that get more more attention. Now, you know, after every sermon I preach, people always want to maybe I'll talk to me and say, hey, good job up there. Thanks for the nap. Whatever. That's fine. It's good. It's encouraging. Please don't stop encouraging, you know, your pastor. Let's think about all the people who serve in ways that are maybe less visible. Think about, man, you know, I think what the most, you know, I have kids, but you know, I think the most thankless job is, I mean, it's like nursery workers. You take those people for granted, don't you? How often do we give honor to those doing the messy work? Doing the work behind the scenes, doing the work that doesn't get noticed, doing the work that doesn't get appreciated. In God's great wisdom, He has designed us and given us different gifts for the good of each other in the world. And if we don't have a choice, if in order to live a life united with Jesus Christ, I need to live united with His bride, with His body, we do well to remember that we should be in motion, serving and loving each other in the world, and honoring and considering each other. Let's move on as we finish. Instead, God has blended together the body, giving greater honor to the lesser members, so that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have mutual concern for one another. If one member suffers, everyone suffers with him. If a member is honored, all rejoice with him. What happens when we function well as a body? When we function well as the church? Well, what happens is we lose our individual focus. It says that when there is no division of the body, if one member suffers, everyone suffers with it. And if a member is honored, all rejoice with it. I think that when we think about why church, this is the key. You know, I think that our world is desperate. Our world is desperate for true community. For true concern for one another. For a place to belong. A place where when one person suffers, we all suffer with them. A place where when one person grieves, we all grieve with them. Where when one person is rejoicing, we all rejoice with them. But I feel like as our world gets more superficially connected, we actually become less meaningful. Do you know my young man joining gangs? I have a friend. He's a Youth for Christ missionary in Vancouver. He came out of the gang. He grew up in a home that was dysfunctional at best. And the reason that he joined the gang was because there he knew that someone would always be there. Someone would always have his back. The reason that he joined the gang was because there was community there. There was a place to belong. And that community was like a close family. we hold him up to the throne of grace in prayer? When one person is rejoicing, do we rejoice with them or do we look on them with envy? Because we have something here that is better than anything a gang can offer, that is better than anything our world can offer, and that is Jesus Christ. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit binding us together in unity. But if we come to church just to hear some teaching, a few songs, shake a few hands, go home. Friends, I don't think that we're offering anything that we can't find anywhere else. You know, when Jesus prayed, talked to enough people who left church, and the main reason that people leave church is a conflict with people. Friends, we cannot live in unity with Christ and disunity with other believers. That's the truth. And honestly, I get that it's easier for me to say than it is to agree. We're going to have disagreements. We're going to have people that we find easier and harder to love. But when we live in unity with other believers, we shine in the light and love of Jesus Christ. And if we can't love each other, the very people who share the Holy Spirit, who share the mission of God, then I don't blame the world for thinking that there's nothing much worth getting up on a Sunday morning for. But my prayer this morning, my prayer for this church, my prayer for the church in Prince George, my prayer this morning is for a vital church, a church that is alive as we depend on Jesus Christ in unity with each other, a church that moves with feet directed by Him, with hands ready to serve each other in the world, empowered by the unity that comes through the Holy Spirit. Friends, that's God's plan. Father God, thank you for my brothers and sisters here at Fort George Baptist Church. Lord God, I pray that this church would be united so that the world might believe. God, forgive us. Forgive me for those times when I haven't demonstrated this unity that you call us to. Father God, as we move forward, God, I pray that we would do so